Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A stranded man's death near an Oregon town puzzles the residents. A jeweler tackles a would-be thief, and a confrontation leads to a shooting death in Woodburn.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, May 16th, 2011. Jerry William McDonald was separated by just 3 miles from a restaurant in the Oregon woods where he had been parked from a local restaurant. Residents at the logging town of Marion Forks, Oregon, are wondering why he did not therefore leave his stranded truck. Authorities have said they don't know how the 68-year-old Oregon man ended up in the woods and unable to seek help. The U.S. Forest Service found his body Thursday in a sleeping bag in the back of his 1997 baby blue GMC pickup about 60 miles east of Salem. McDonald kept a log as he stayed in his pickup on the small road from Marion Forks, detailing his 68-day ordeal that ended in his death from hypothermia and starvation. Carrie Bionish, who was having brunch with her husband in the town of Marion Forks, said, "You know, he could have walked right down here to this restaurant." The couple from Newburg, Oregon, own a cabin in town and often walk, even with a couple of feet of snow on the ground. She said Saturday, "You know, he sat there and wrote in his journal for nearly 70 days. That's not a long time. It's downhill. He's not out far enough to be doing that, lost in the woods."
Does his journal indicate that he was unhappy about starving? Or was it just like, and here I am, and here shall I stay?
Well, he was a transient.
I mean, they're sort of assuming that he just...
He was a strange...
Some guys go out to flow, you know, go out to sea in an ice floe. Some guys just live in a truck.
I don't know. I want to read what he actually wrote in the journal. Like, day 50.
I think it's all that interesting. Still in truck.
Just ate last bite of jerky.
See previous entries. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing fine. How
okay. Everything situated?
Yeah.
Okay.
How are you?
All right. You ready? You good to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm reading the news.
A little fun fact, by the way. Don literally was, I won't say running, because that's not really a thing you can do. Yeah. He was sort of...
Hustling?
No, you don't really hustle either. You're sort of stumping your way as quickly as you possibly could into the studio, literally as I was doing the opening. It's impressive. I'd say another second and a half, and there would have been noticeable pause there. But no, you pulled it off.
Oh,
You did everything but sort of lunge, like in the line of fire style toward the microphone.
I left the room, and then while I was out of the room, I heard you talking, and I said...
It became noon while you were gone.
Oh, it's time for the show now.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, May 16th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, you got your Science on the March, also your entertainment news, and so forth. You can also get this program as a direct MP3 download if you like later on, or at iTunes. You can do those things at iTunes or at Cascadia.fm or at LegionofNews.com. It is LegionofNews.com. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Today we'll be joined by Mr. Ryan White, music editor from The Oregonian, also Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com for another exciting installment of the week in Geek. This hour, your Science of the March, your entertainment news, and Don Taylor is speaking again right now.
Now, International Monetary Fund Chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn will answer charges today that he tried to sexually assault a housekeeper in a New York hotel.
Kahn.
Yes, legal analyst Sunny Huston says Strauss-Kahn has at least one big hurdle to overcome in this case.
The prosecution obviously thinks this victim is credible. He would not have been yanked, let's put it frankly, off of an airplane by the Port Authority police officers had they not found this victim credible. She's now pointed him out in a lineup.
He would not have been yanked.
Huston says because Strauss-Kahn does not have diplomatic immunity, he's being treated like anyone else.
When you go to another country, you submit yourself to the laws of that country.
Right.
And so that's why you're seeing him on television, sort of doing the perp walk.
Right.
He's doing everything that would be done to any other defendant.
The perp walk is like the crip walk, but different.
Sort of doing the perp walk.
I so long to have diplomatic immunity. That's really, that. If anybody's wondering what to get Rick Emerson for Christmas or for, you know, Hanukkah or Shrove Tuesday or Arbor Day, diplomatic immunity is the gift that says, that's really the gift that says you care. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, maybe if you like, we could somehow designate the studio as its own kingdom. We could get you those little flags for your car.
I don't think that's the same thing.
Oh, isn't it?
You're thinking of Sealand.
Oh, I always get those confused. Huston says bailing Strauss-Kahn out of jail could be a problem.
There is no question he's a flight risk because, again, he got yanked off of this airplane. And so I think possibly his passport, if it hasn't been yanked, it's going to be yanked. And he's going to have to post a very, very high
bail. She needs to quit saying that.
She must stop saying yanked.
It's impossible. I know that it's a story of potentially, you know, great gravity or whatever, but it's impossible for me to take this story. Let's hear it one more time. First of all, I like the idea that he's a flight risk because he was on, you know, a flight.
There is no question he's a flight risk because, again, he got yanked off of this airplane. And so
yanked
I think
off.
Possibly his passport, if it hasn't been yanked, it's going to be yanked, and he's going to have to post a very, very high bail.
That is the story of my life. If it hasn't been yanked on, it's going to be yanked.
Mm.
Well, hello, hi.
It's inevitable that the yanking will occur at some point.
Well, you know, a life without yanking is a life I don't wish to live. And he is in New York, the home of the Yankees. See what I did there?
Oh, wow.
Damn.
A suspected jewel thief was arrested Sunday after she ran out of a Washington Square jewelry store wearing a diamond bracelet and was tackled by store employees. Around 1 p.m., Kasab Jewelers employee Bhakti Sasya said the woman walked into the store and asked to see a 12-carat diamond tennis bracelet worth $40,000. Sasya said the woman had the bracelet on her wrist and was admiring it when she suddenly said, "Thank you," and ran out of the store. The woman ran around a nearby store, and Sasya said she tackled the suspect on the steps leading to the underground parking lot. "I finally tackled her," Sasya said, "managed to get her to chokehold. She bit me, stepped on my foot, and punched me in the lip." Rana Kasab, I am assuming owner or family member of the store owners, ran out after Sasya. The next thing she saw was Sasya holding the suspect in a headlock. The two worked together to remove the bracelet while the suspect pleaded, "No, don't take it off. Don't take it off."
So she did everything but really just yell yoink. As she,
yes.
Is this a woman who grabbed and just ran away?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, "Oh, this is pretty. Thank you."
So the savage beating was okay, but not the removal of the bracelet.
Right.
All right.
Tiger police arrested 43-year-old Paula Wentworth. She's charged with aggravated theft and third-degree robbery.
By the way, somebody would like it to be broadcast as a bit of a public service that International Monetary Fund Chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn may, in fact, be snatching all your peoples up. So, everybody, be... never mind.
Be aware of that,
yeah.
Yes. Police have arrested a man who was wandering naked around a residential Auckland, New Zealand suburb and throwing tennis balls at passing cars in the nippy weather that afternoon. The naked man, who was in his 40s or 50s, was seen around the Wells Road, Howick area by startled drivers and locals who phoned police about 1 p.m. The man wasn't too happy about police turning up. the naked man who was throwing tennis balls at cars, and was violent toward officers who eventually restrained him and brought him into the station.
I'm more interested in the observation that the weather was nippy.
The weather was nippy.
Is that a thing that the journalists just found really interesting and they felt like they needed to get into the story somehow?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if it was summer and balmy, as it were, then it might not be so bizarre that he was naked and flinging tennis balls at cars.
Okay.
But he was naked, throwing tennis balls at cars, and it was chilly outside. So he was charged with indecent exposure and assaulting police, and will appear in court next week. Apparently the man is well known by local police as someone who tended to, quote, play up, which I guess might be a New Zealand term for being crazy or something.
Is that really a New Zealand term for being crazy?
I don't know what it means. Just contextually, it's like, well, he's someone who tends to play up.
We do have many listeners from New Zealand, so we could perhaps Daniel in New Zealand or Daniel in NZ.
Send out the Kiwi signal.
I don't really have I don't have like a Balrog or anything. if you're listening to us in New Zealand, like now or, you know, in the future or whenever, yeah. If you want to let us know if that is in fact a bit of a slang for crazy, you just let us know so we can become smarter and more edubified.
Thank you. Police said someone with a group of young men opened fire during a neighborhood confrontation in Woodburn, Oregon, killing 19-year-old Tomas Montez Sanchez in his front yard on Sunday. Investigators did not rule out gang activity. They said they hadn't yet determined why the group approached the victim's house on Saturday night. On Sunday morning, neighbors were watching from behind yellow crime scene tape. And, of course, they had things to say, being the men and women on the street. Yvonne Salas, who grew up with the victim, said, "I was in shock. I couldn't believe it. It's really sad it had to happen like this." Salas said he went to kindergarten and middle school with Montez Sanchez, who police said died from multiple gunshot wounds. He was saying he was just going back to work and he was liking school and he was in a good mood. Police said Saturday night the victim was with two brothers in their front yard when a group of young men approached the house looking to brawl at the nearby park. The victim turned down the fight.
Were they just coming and knocking door to door like Mormons? Instead of asking if you wanted to hear another testament of Jesus Christ, they're asking if you wanted to get a ruckus on?
Yeah, there's going to be fisticuffs at the park, sir. And the young man said, "No, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I would not be interested in your fisticuffs.
We're going to be playing up."
And then later, a larger group returned and shots were fired and the victim was shot several times.
By the way, this is the, I hesitate to even say things like this because it's just because it, you'll understand why, because it's fundamentally, it's pointless. So we are broadcasting live right now. If you're listening to us at rickemersonshow.com, because, you know, we sort of, we simulcast, as they say in the terrestrial world. We're simulcasting at rickemersonshow.com. As of right now, apparently somebody's saying that we are in reruns, or Cascadia is in reruns at the moment. And I know that there was going to be a thing on Thursday the 19th where they are going to be doing we're going to be pre-taping a show for Thursday the 19th because there's going to be a conference happening there. As of right now, I can actually tell you, I can verify from our end that our signal is going out, but I can also tell you that it doesn't look like it is going to Cascadia. In other words, it seems that there is nobody there.
Huh.
To be logging on. So,
okay.
Because we are sending the signal here, but I can see that they are actually not logged on at Cascadia.
So we are saying this to no one who can actually hear it right now.
No, we're listening to, there's a lot of people listening via rickemersonshow.com. Because that's why I didn't know until like 30 seconds ago. Because I've been getting comments about, you know, he's climbing through your windows, he's snatching your people up, allegedly.
Hmm.
Somebody else says, "By the way, it doesn't look like it looks like we're in reruns today." So we are broadcasting the show. The reason I'm saying it like this is because I know there are people who are listening to us right now. So if it sounds like I'm saying we're off the air and you're listening.
Yeah.
That's crazy. We are not on a Cascadia.fm at the moment, but, so, you know, there you go. Hmm. Bam. Apparently, breaking news over Cascadia.fm, though, we've just killed Osama bin Laden. It's the damnedest thing.
Oh, my God.
That's just taken place.
Yay for America.
Okay, hooray, we rule. That just in, sort of.
President Obama traveled to Memphis to deliver the commencement speech at Booker T. Washington High School. The president joked that moments like these are the highlight of his job.
I have a very nice plane. I have a theme song. But what I enjoy most is having a chance to come to a school like Booker T. Washington High School and share this day with its graduates.
We played to a lot of audiences, but you guys are the best crowd ever. Ever.
Mm. really, that's his favorite thing about being the president.
I would imagine killing pirates and also being president.
Yeah. The president says Washington High is a model for how a school can turn around its fortunes and become successful.
Success can happen here at Booker T. Washington. It can happen anywhere in Memphis. And if it can happen in Memphis, it can happen anywhere in Tennessee. And if it can happen anywhere in Tennessee, it can happen all across America.
It can happen in the Western Spiral Arm of the Milky Way.
We know Memphis, Tennessee is the bottom of the bottom of the barrel.
That's really what he's saying, basically. He's just saying, look, y'all are basically illiterate. And yet if you can do it. So, I mean, he seems to be implying that they're just one step above, like, cave paintings. Yes, Don?
Oh, nothing. I was just, responding to Sabrina Miller, which you probably are.
I'm texting Jay at the moment,
okay.
So I don't know who's actually over the, of us has to quit texting.
Okay. I thought you were still talking.
No.
Okay.
La 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 ma 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 ma.
All right.
Okay, there we go. Big wind-up.
And
by the way, was there ever a garbage pail kid named Booger T. Washington? And if not, why not?
And why do I find that so funny?
Because it's hilarious. Can't you just see, sort of...
I'm writing this down for later.
Right.
Booger T.
I planned on tweeting that later on.
Oh, God. Well, I'll keep it to myself then. So
yeah, don't tell anybody.
I won't steal it.
All right.
A 51-year-old man told Fort Pierce police, not sure exactly where Fort Pierce is, but police there were told by a 51-year-old man, that a woman sporting facial hair stole his wallet on May 10th in what could be called... Okay, I'm not going to say what they wrote. The wallet... What could be called a hair-raising experience.
Yeah, see, you have to say... You can't...
I hate them. The wallet contained $2,800, credit cards, and the man's driver's license. The female with the facial hair flagged the man down. The man told the police she got in his van and asked for a ride to a house. While waiting for a light to change, the woman with the hair on her face, they keep saying that over and over again, reached in his right front pocket and took his wallet, then got out of the van and ran. The report didn't indicate whether the woman's facial hair constituted a mustache or a beard or goatee or whatever. Likewise, it wasn't clear if the accused thief was a so-called bearded lady or just a woman who was a little bit furry. She's also described as being 25 to 30 years old and heavy set. The woman wore a white shirt, blue jeans, and a white rag on her head. The wallet with credit cards and driver's license was later found. So, woman.
And that's a thing that happened.
That's a thing that happened.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Of course, if you're listening at rickemersonshow.com right now, this is a thing. You're already set. You're already lined up. You're already locked and loaded. This would normally be the time when I congratulate and welcome our many new subscribers, but I'm going to wait until we're actually being heard at Cascadia. So I'm speaking with Jay and Sabrina right now. So they are on it like Blue Bonnet, as they used to say.
Who said that? I never heard that.
It's Jagoff DJ I used to work with, which I think isn't Blue Bonnet like a type of spready,
margarine,
buttery goodness,
yes.
Oily goodness for the top of your toast?
Yes.
Yeah, so you would say like, hey, JR, can you do the tags for that auto spot? And he would say, hey, I'm on it like Blue Bonnet, guy. And then he would sort of give you the finger pistols and kind of go, ksh. Often while wearing a corduroy baseball cap with the station logo on it, and then those sunglasses that had this sort of clothy lanyard that went around the back so he could keep them with him at all times.
So how much did you hate that guy?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. He's the guy, I've mentioned it before, he's the guy who years, this is back in the mid-90s, who ended a lot of his sentences or had as a common rejoinder, that's what she said.
Uh-huh.
And which is a thing, and so when I saw The Office, I was suddenly wondering if that was a thing that was much more widely spread than I imagined, because I always just associated with that one guy. So apparently, I didn't know that was a verbal meme that had sort of encircled the globe like a decade before.
Oh, no, yeah. I had heard it before The Office.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Well, Donald Trump says he will not run for president in 2012 after all. The reality show / real estate tycoon said today that he was ending speculation of his White House ambitions, saying that he would have run. If he would have run, he would have likely won the Republican presidential nomination.
Oh, that's a whole lot of I could run
and,
if I want and win, but I mean it's unfair to the other. It's unfair to the other candidates. I don't want to.
And he would have gone on to become president. He would have beaten President Obama.
It's wrong for me to hog the votes.
Ultimately, however, business is my greatest passion.
You just say business?
He said business.
Okay.
And I am not ready to leave the private sector. he said in a statement.
Okay.
While it's somewhat surprising that Trump chose to announce his decision in a prepared statement and not at a high-profile live news conference, he did not leave the stage entirely quietly. In his three-paragraph statement, Trump boasted of having a major impact on the nation's political debate. He said, issues including getting tough on China and other countries that are methodically and systematically taking advantage of the United States were seldom mentioned before I brought them to the forefront of the country's conversation. They are now being debated vigorously. He also snuck in a parting shot at the current GOP crop of White House hopefuls, saying, I look forward to supporting the candidate who is the most qualified to help us tackle our country's most important issues, and hopeful that when this person emerges, he or she will have the courage to take on the challenges of the office and be the agent of change this country so desperately needs.
This is sort of he'd be a ringer if he were to join the race at this point. It would just, you know, it would not be sporting of him to take part in the election.
No, because he just would have just wiped it. I'm a little sad, actually, that he's not running. I was looking forward to more discussion of Trump.
Yeah, but you still got your Sarah Palin. You still got your your Ron Paul is going to be running.
Yeah, it seems that apparently until say the White House Correspondents' Dinner, he had no idea that people thought it was funny.
Yeah, I know. He's one of those guys that lives. He is a man without irony. Is the thing about Donald Trump. He is a man who has no self awareness. He has no consciousness of his own fundamental absurdity, which is sort of great for the rest of us. But occasionally, you kind of wish that he did. You wish that he could get the tiniest window into the fact that everyone finds him to be a bit of a boob.
Yeah. Well, let's do a little bit of science.
Let's do a little bit of science after we do one more non-science story.
Oh, okay. Let's do another non-science story. How about we do this one? If you haven't heard of lazy cakes, authorities in Fall River and New Bedford, Massachusetts would like it to stay that way. They want them banned from stores because they're saying that they could be harmful to children. On the Lazy Cakes company's website, they call it a tasty chocolate treat that brings on the ultimate state of relaxation. The magic of Lazy Cakes, the original relaxation brownie, they call it, is its proprietary blend that includes herbal relaxation aids, melatonin, valerian root extract, rosehip extract, and passion flower. Fall River Mayor William Flanagan says, these brownies are laced with melatonin. Melatonin is a sleep aid. If someone wants to buy melatonin, that's fine, but it shouldn't be in a brownie that's packaged to attract kids. There's about 8 milligrams of melatonin in each of the Lazy Cakes brownies. Even in a single serving size, which is half the brownie, that's way more than the recommended dosage. In Europe, the common prescription for sleep aid is 0.03 milligrams. And each one of these has 8.
So it's basically a brownie you take if you want to remain immobile for the rest of the night.
Yeah. And it's also, it's not, I don't have the picture here, but you can find it on the web, the logo. It's not aimed at children. It's aimed at stoners. It looks like a 1960s, like, Mr. Natural poster or something like that. It says Lazy Cakes, and there's this big, happy brownie, like, sort of shrugging.
With heavy-lidded eyes.
With heavy-lidded eyes, yes. With this goofy smile on his face. The makers of Lazy Cakes issued a statement saying, we have not been contacted by the mayor's office in regard to their specific questions about our product, but we welcome a conversation with Mr. Flanagan. We created Lazy Cakes to provide adults with a great-tasting way to combat the stress associated with our fast-paced lives. They said each brownie is clearly labeled to indicate we recommend that Lazy Cakes be enjoyed by adults only. Flanagan said it's not enough to keep the brownies on the store shelves in his city. He said, even though the product says it's not intended for children's use, its psychedelic packaging and its cartoon character, known as Lazy Larry, indicate otherwise.
Kids are going to be sporting Lazy Larry shirts everywhere now, and
yeah,
it's going to be all the rage at raves. Halloween, you're going to be inadvertently dosed by licking Larry Lazy stamps that are given to you by some irascible neighbor.
Because there's nothing kids like more than a brownie that...
Kids love health food, Don.
That makes them feel slightly sleepy.
Kids love it. Kids can't get enough of things that are made with flaxseed and numerous the kinds of sprouted grains. All right, fantastic. It looks like we are now back up at Cascadia.
Hooray!
So I just I'm not sure where the glitchiness was happening. The signal was going to one place but not t'other, as they say.
So welcome to all our listeners. We are now no longer in the past.
All right, and okay.
And Bin Laden's been dead for a while. So
yeah,
sorry
that's not.
About
we
that.
Didn't. He wasn't like a zombie Bin Laden that we found and then killed again. Although, that would almost be worth it
yeah.
if there was just, you know, if you just sort of and just sort of lurched out of a cave somewhere. I mean, it would, you know, the payoff would almost be.
How much would people pay for that, you think? Like those guys that go on the safaris to Africa to kill like the endangered animals? If you had a zombie Bin Laden,
Better idea.
Would just kill him over and over again?
Better idea. We should just before we dumped him in the ocean, we should, and you know, we probably saved like, you know, a hand or something just to sort of wave around at parties. We should clone him. And then just have some sort of an expedition where you can just go shoot him again and again and again.
Just a Bin Laden game preserve.
For like 10
where
grand.
Where there's just all of these Bin Ladens just wandering
yes.
around
yes.
in the outback.
That's what I'm saying. And by the way, if you are just joining us at Cascadia.fm, the show in its entirety will be posted. I just spoke with our good friend Sabrina, so I will be, get her the file in its entirety because we're rolling a virtual tape, as they say on this end. So we'll get the entire file over, so it will be available via iTunes, Cascadia.fm, and LegionOfNews.com later on. On today as an entire show. So, yes, you are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at RickEmersonShow.com. Also, your entertainment news coming up later on somewhere betwixt now and the top of the hour, about half an hour from now. This, however, is your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. And there's a Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 or Squires Electric. .com. You can actually find them online as well. That is facebook.com/Squires Electric. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And so if you need something done, modified, installed, repaired, if you need upgrade, or if you need inspection, if you're preparing for an inspection, you want to make sure you pass by having somebody come through and check out the entire joint, you can do that by contacting Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. That is Squires Electric. At 503-252-1609. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. They are the proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
The space shuttle Endeavour blasted off Monday morning, which would be this morning, beginning a planned 16-day mission that will be the penultimate flight in the shuttle program's 30-year history. NASA officials estimated that as many as 500,000 people were in the area to watch the launch, which had originally been scheduled for late last month, but had been pushed back because of a technical problem with an onboard heater. The highest-profile guest in attendance was almost certainly Representative Gabrielle Giffords, the Arizona congresswoman who is continuing to make a slow but steady recovery more than 4 months after she was shot in the head in an attack in her home district that killed six others. Giffords' chief of staff, Pia Carasone, describes how Giffords felt once the shuttle launched successfully.
I think relief was her biggest feeling. She was very proud, is always proud of Mark and what he does.
Carasone says Giffords traveled to Florida with two nurses.
She doesn't have a lot of need for any medical staff at this point, but she's still, you know, under the care of the hospital as an inpatient, full-time patient at the hospital, so it's appropriate for her to have medical staff.
She should totally go by, the crazy burned-out flashbulb eyes, the guy that shot her. Totally go by, you know, and just like, hey, I went to see my, I went essentially under my own power to see my husband, who's an astronaut, by the way, go into space, and then just give him a little what for on the chin.
Yeah, you have a good time with your stale bread and water.
Have some Jello, yeah.
Giffords' husband, Mark Kelly, is among the six astronauts on board Endeavour, which travels to the International Space Station to deliver spare parts and platform and perform maintenance tasks. But the mission's main objective is to install the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer, a $2 billion particle detector designed to look for evidence of the so-called dark matter that scientists believe makes up much of the universe. The launch, however, is a bittersweet one for NASA and its supporters, given that it's the second-to-last mission for the U.S. Space Shuttle program. The 135th and final space shuttle launch of Atlantis is set for this summer.
Well, wait a minute. Does that mean that if something breaks, we don't have any way to go fix it?
No. That's it. We're giving up.
You're just saying that because you don't know. The... If the shuttle's going up there to launch a thing, like a telescope or a ocular butt-up guy, whatever, and then like a screw falls out of the side of it, how is it we're supposed to... I don't understand how we're supposed to get up there and repair anything.
I don't know. Do we have something else that we're going to be sending up that has a different name than shuttle? Is that why we're retiring our shuttles? Because now we're going to be spending the...
Interstellar scooter?
Yeah.
Of some kind?
The galactic hydroplane or something like that?
I don't know. A galactic... A glider of some kind? It just seems like they're mothballing... Like, it's not like a step down between launches. Like, they're mothballing the entire program.
Yeah.
And about 90% of their jobs seem to involve going up to fix something that's been falling apart. You know, where, like, a guy's got to do, like, a spacewalk out to, like, adjust, like, I don't know, like, a heat shield or a fin or something. And so maybe now we're just sort of going, it's like a, we're hoping to do, like, a set it and forget it kind of a thing.
It's going to be like a pick-apart place for cars. Maybe they'll just send one guy up to grab spare parts off of it to bring back down to fix stuff here.
Okay.
Colorado agriculture officials have quarantined two horse locations after horses contracted equine herpes after attending a horse show in Utah. One of the horses had to be euthanized and the
Everyone
other...
Everyone put your shoes into this bowl.
The other is under observation. The Greeley Tribune reports that two Weld County horse locations are under quarantine. The horses had recently attended the National Cutting Horse Association's Western National Championships.
Cutting horses are the hottest kind.
They are.
Except they write creepy poetry.
They love The Cure.
Yeah.
Colorado officials are working with the Utah State Veterinarian to investigate the location. Equine herpes virus is highly contagious among horses, but poses no health threat to humans.
Unless you're Mr. Hands.
Unless you're really, really close to your horse. Speaking of the Endeavour space shuttle earlier, Endeavour is carrying a peculiar live cargo. An intrepid 3-inch creature named Euprymna scolopes, also known as the Hawaiian bobtail squid. The squid are part of a microgravity experiment to determine the impact of space, if any, on beneficial bacteria. This species of squid has a built-in flashlight that uses bacteria as batteries to help navigate murky nighttime waters, hunt for prey, and hide from predators. There's a convenient little cavity in the squid's underside that serves as a home to colonies of bacteria known as Vibrio fischeri. The cavity organ is lined with thread-like cilia that sweep bacteria from the surrounding water into the cavity, and the bacteria set up a colony. Once the colony reaches critical mass, they emit bioluminescence. The glowing bacteria are surrounded by stacks of reflective plates to focus the light outward. So this helps squid hunt for prey in dark waters. It also provides camouflage. So they're sending them up on the Endeavour, and they're going to launch a few baby squid into space, wait 14 hours, add some bacteria into the mix, and then they'll have 28 hours to colonize before the squid, you know, are killed and sent back to Earth. So they're looking for evidence that the microgravity environment interferes with the squid's ability to be colonized by the bacteria.
But they're not on... Okay, but this is in space, like in a tank. Like,
yeah.
I thought for a minute we were just kicking them out the door.
No, it'll be like inside a tank.
Because that would be officially freaky.
Or put them just on a little leash and drag them along for a while, then reel them back in.
Tiny little space suit. More than anything, that seems like a thing that you ought to be able to buy. You ought to be able to buy some sort of an implant or some sort of a transplant or some sort of alteration to your body that allows you to have luminescence.
Yeah.
Like, if you could just have, like, the palm of your hand be luminescent. I mean, think of how much easier it would be to, like, find your car keys, you know? Or to, like, you're standing on the front porch and you can't quite find the right key that fits the lock or something, but if your hand just glowed.
Or, like, a little chest plate like Tony Stark has.
Yes.
And then you could just fill it with those cilia and those little bacteria and it would glow. And then you could just, like, put a little plate over the front to close it up. And if you needed to look for something, you could just, like, unbutton your shirt and flip open the plate. And it's like, gee, you know, and there's the flashlight.
You'd be like one of those sea crane radios, except you'd wind yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have that.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Okay. U.S. authorities on Saturday opened up a major floodgate to ease pressure from the swollen Mississippi River, hoping to save urban centers from historic flooding as rising waters swept south. One bay of 125 available bays in Louisiana's Morganza Spillway was opened to stop floodwaters from washing into major cities, according to the Army Corps of Engineers. They are aiming to ease the Mississippi's flow as it heads for the Gulf of Mexico. Retired General Russell Honor, best known for leading the military response to Hurricane Katrina, said on CNN, Baton Rouge and New Orleans will flood if we don't open that spillway. Opening spillway means waters will gush over thousands of acres of farmland and rural towns, prompting warnings of flash floods from forecasters and urgent evacuation orders in Louisiana and Mississippi. The American Red Cross is already readying shelters for thousands of expected evacuees. But Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal said people do have time to prepare and pack, and added that the Corps had told him the spillway would be opened on Saturday. A flood as high as 15 feet was set to bear down on the community of Butte La Rose when the spillway opens. So they've said, you know, Baton Rouge and New Orleans, important. All these other towns, not so much. Let's flood them.
Well, it's like Missile Command. Eventually, you just have to pick one base and just tell the others, like, hey, look, it's been fun, but, see you the next go around. And you just got to pick Alpha Station and go with that. You can't save everyone, Don.
Okay.
That's exactly what it's like. It's exactly like playing Missile Command.
Like Missile Command.
There is no difference at all.
None whatsoever. Now we know how we're training our Army Corps of Engineers.
Well, they can't just use Polybius for everything, Don.
SimCity will only take you so far.
That's right.
All right. We're done with science.
There we go. There's your Science in the March. Brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609 or facebook.com/Squires Electric. Still to come this hour, your entertainment news. And next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. That is rickemersonshow.com. Today, Penis Watch, Cannibal Watch. Also, Mr. Ryan White, music editor from the Oregonian, going to be in the studio with us. And also Aaron Duran from geekinthecity.com with the Week in Geek. That Penis Watch, Cannibal Watch thing isn't accurate, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. That's from last week. It's actually, I didn't get a chance to write on the board. It's Clergy Watch and Taser Watch.
All right. Clergy Watch, Taser Watch, and Ryan White, also Mr. Aaron Duran. That is all next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here's Don Taylor.
So Eric Prince, the billionaire founder of Blackwater Worldwide, has gotten himself a new job. The Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi has hired him to build an 800-member mercenary army made up of foreign troops for the United Arab Emirates. This was reported by the New York Times this week. The paper got its hands on some documents that show how the oil-soaked sheikdom gave Prince's company $529 million for special domestic and international operations, including defending skyscrapers and oil pipelines from terrorist attacks. It also tasks the mercenaries with squashing internal revolt. Although the contract was signed long before the Arab world was swept up by democracy protests, it could still mean that if unrest were to break out in the UAE, Prince's soldiers would be in charge of suppressing them. Most of the mercenaries he hired have been from Latin America, since Prince's number one rule was that no Muslims should be hired because they couldn't be trusted to kill fellow Muslims. Prince, who relocated to the UAE after he faced mounting legal trouble in the United States, hopes that this is just the beginning for his new company, which is called Reflex Responses. According to former employees, Prince wants to use the UAE as a base to train troops for other governments so they don't because that don't feel they can trust their own soldiers.
So is he from here? Is he an American? And then, you know, he now lives abroad, of course. But is he just some guy?
He's American or British. I can't remember which. But yeah, he's just a guy, and he's a billionaire, and he was the founder of Blackwater.
I'd like to think he's American because he seems... It's about time we have our own supervillain.
He is as close to a genuine supervillain, I think, as we actually
have.
He
seems kind of awesome.
Well... Yeah, in a supervillain kind of a way.
Oh, no, if we could hire that guy like today to do something for us, I would. Yeah. I mean, really, if we had the petty cash to do it.
The New York Times notes that it isn't clear whether the program is sanctioned by the U.S. government, considering, I guess he is an American citizen. Federal law requires American citizens to get permission from the State Department to train foreign troops. And he has not done so.
Well, they're not troops as such, though. They're mercenaries.
Yeah.
So you're just hired, like, they're independent. You're just some guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you just hire, like, your cousin to go work a dude over with a bat or something.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, 2009, I believe it was, there was an extensive article about Prince in Vanity Fair that was fascinating. He is a scary, scary, fascinating guy.
Is he, like, what's his name? Is he, like, Nicolas Cage in Lord of War?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's because he himself is based on a real guy.
Only he's like the top of the food chain.
Really?
He's the billionaire guy who is at the top of everything.
I like the idea that you're hiring him to come create an army for you and then to squash internal revolt, not like at your company. It's not like you're getting him to come bust the unions like the longshoremen who are agitating, you know, to consolidate and unionize. You're actually having him quash rebellion in an entire country.
Yeah, he's like a cross between, like, the guy that created the Tesla car and created PayPal and Tony Stark and Dick Cheney.
Excellent.
He's freaky weird and impressive and terrifying.
So he's some sort of... have we overlooked the possibility that perhaps he is, in fact, the fabled Serpentor of G.I. Joe fame? He's the consolidated wisdom of all military leaders throughout history that they have put into one single entity.
Or he could be Lex Luthor.
Maybe he's hiring.
I'm sure he is. It sounds like, well, God knows he's got the money to make the payroll.
All right. Well, we should offer to be his mouthpiece.
We could do that.
Just to give his propaganda to the people.
Maybe he would want to sponsor our show.
I'm just saying. Look, it's a, you know, it's a big tent here. We take all ideologies.
Detroit police are investigating allegations that an on-duty officer had sex in his squad car with a prostitute. Details.
Where are you supposed to do it? Against a wall? Walls are dirty.
Police said internal affairs investigators are looking into allegations that the officer engaged in sex acts with a prostitute in his police cruiser about 2 weeks ago while it was parked somewhere in the northeastern district of Detroit. The officer is assigned to the department's western district. The officer was on duty when other officers approached the car and found him engaged in sexual activity. So I'm guessing what happens is Officers see a police car doesn't belong to one of the guys that's actually assigned to that part of town. What's that doing here? Walk over and see this guy, you know, shagging a prostitute. Yeah. Officer Dan Donikowski, the police department spokesman, said, right now the officer is suspended with pay. It's under investigation. The Reverend Jerome Warfield, the police commission's chairman, said a cop having sex with a prostitute, quote, certainly could lead to termination if the allegation is true. Stephen said, Godbee said it would not comment further on the matter, but it was told that certainly the allegations relative to the misconduct, even from an administrative standpoint, are troubling enough to where I think we should take very swift action.
We want to, by the way, take this opportunity to thank new subscriber to the Rick Emerson Show, Roger. That is Roger Aldich. Aldich? Aldich?
Yes.
Aldich.
I met Roger this weekend at Wonder Northwest, and he handed us Cash American money to subscribe to the show.
Really?
Yes. He's a fine American guy.
Is this the guy that just did that? I got the text from you and Cheryl going, guy just handed us cash?
Yes.
Awesome. Excellent.
That's the guy.
Welcome, sir.
He's like, I want to subscribe right now. And we're like, okay.
How much do you have on you? So we want to thank Roger, who is now a subscriber to the Rick Emerson radio program, where he will listen for the, and it's an annual, so it's actually less than 30, it's like 30.5 cents a day. Yes. Truly a pittance when one considers the disproportionate amount of entertainment you get in return. So that is Roger, brand new subscriber at rickemersonshow.com. Also, Barb is going to be listening today, starting today, because of a 3-month gift subscription.
Oh.
So she has been given a 3-month gift subscription, presumably by someone who cares about her a great deal.
And very much.
Wants to give her, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. As the Onion would say, the gift that keeps on giving for 90 days and then stops abruptly. So that is Barb and Roger. They are new subscribers, new listeners at rickembersonshow.com. Or you, yes, you, can also be grazed by our sparkling wit and comedic stylings and have your ear holes just jammed, just stuffed, just filled, just packed forcibly, almost plunged, full of entertainment for 32 cents a day. That's rickemersonshow.com.
Yeah, how better to show that you you care for someone than to give the gift of us?
Give the gift of the penis watch.
Yes.
Won't you?
The trust funds of Social Security and Medicare will run dry sooner than expected, according to a report from the program's trustees. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner said that at this rate, there won't be sufficient resources to pay 100% of Social Security benefits after 2036.
The Social Security Trust Fund will exhaust its assets and incoming revenues will be insufficient to maintain payment of full benefits.
I'll probably be dead by then, so I'm not really worrying about it too much.
I would care about this if they hadn't been saying that same thing every year since I was born. Like, every year, they say, you know, we're going to run out of money for Social Security in 18 months. It's like how every year they say that we're going to run out of food to feed people on planet Earth. And, you know, that was when we were like approaching 3 billion people. Like, we'll never be able to feed 3 billion people. So I disregard all of these things.
Plus, after spending many, many years of chronic, like, sort of underemployment and unemployment and being a freelance writer and stuff, whenever I get one of those statements from Social Security, it says, here's how much money you could expect to receive. I just
$7.
Look at it and go,
$7.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, that. Well, it's a cardboard box under the freeway for me. Geithner says policymakers need to take steps to shore up both entitlement programs.
We should not wait for the trust funds to be exhausted to make the reforms necessary to protect our current and future retirees.
Okay, I'll get right on that. You were listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes. And for those who are listening to us via Cascadia.fm and the live stream, the little glitchiness at the top of the show for the first quarter hour, as they say. But we'll have that posted in its entirety at iTunes later on today. And it's also going to be available as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at LegionofNews.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Under new guidelines from the Vatican aimed at fighting child abuse by priests, Catholic bishops are being told they should cooperate with the police. However, the guidelines do not order bishops to report allegations to the authorities if local law doesn't require it. The new Vatican advice gives national conferences of bishops until next May to come up with their own guidelines as well. I was like, I'm trying to remember the exact word. Somebody posted, I think it was on Facebook, they said, best headline ever. And it was something like Vatican issues child abuse guidelines.
Never mind.
Sister Marianne Walsh with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops says educating people about abuse is critical to preventing it.
Tell them you have a puppy at home.
We have found that when people are educated as to what constitutes child abuse, what constitutes grooming behavior, you have a decrease in that kind of behavior.
Sounds like she's licking the phone.
I know. Did she say grooming behavior?
I don't know. I couldn't get over the fact that she was tonguing the mouthpiece as she was speaking. Let's hear it again.
We have found that when people are educated as to what constitutes child abuse, what constitutes grooming behavior, you have a decrease in that kind of behavior.
Oh, someone should tell her to lay off the hard candies while she's giving phone interviews.
Your skin is like butter.
Walsh, with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, says U.S. bishops are already in compliance with the advice. Here's more.
I don't want to play it.
The Vatican letter says that you could make them mandatory, the guidelines. In the United States, we made them mandatory a couple years ago. We call them the essential norms. So they're part of the law of the church in the United States.
Sorry, I forgot my upper plate.
Sister Marianne Walsh needs to get her dentures refit.
Just picturing her being like a sort of, like from Pirates of the Caribbean, like Davy Jones with a habit, you know, just sort of kind of a Dr. Zoidberg sort of tentacle mouth kind of thing going on.
Assuming she must have like huge moles on her face. She's like that nun that everyone just remembers from Catholic school and loathes.
Yeah, the thing is, here's a little secret for me to you, that there are no hot nuns. Not in real life, not that I ever met. That you're just thinking of Sally Field in Cannonball Run. There are no actual
Did your nuns hit you like in the hand with a ruler?
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yeah, not from all of them. It was a generational thing. The older nuns did that. We had a nun named Sister Georgina who did that. And then as they got progressively younger, they would they would do all of the teacher stuff. You know, like staring at you or giving you the or like making you stand outside or, you know, occasionally giving you lectures about how you were a disappointment to Jesus or something. But it was the older nuns, like I would say over the age of 50 or so, and that was when I was a kid, they were the ones who would go there. You have to put your hands, you have to wrap your hands around the edge of the desk, presumably to get like a more stationary striking surface, and then they would just, you know, give you the whacking. Sometimes with a ruler, but sometimes, I mean, everybody says ruler, but occasionally it was a yardstick. She actually carried a whole yard, and the thing about the yardstick is it's like having one of those rattan canes where it bends, so you get kind of a kind of a thing going on, sort of a catch and release with the
tip. Yeah, because I didn't go to Catholic school, and my mother would always, you know, that was her stick to poke me with, telling me like how lucky I was in public school because I went to Catholic school, and now let me tell you all of the horrors I went through in Catholic school.
Yeah, so there weren't like a lot of full on beatings or anything. In fact, the only actual beating that I'm pretty sure took place in the locker room of the gymnasium, and that was a thing which we may have told the story on the other show. Kid was asking for it. He was mouthing off, and this was not a nun. It was my sixth grade teacher who became later my eighth grade teacher, but who had been, insert joke here, he'd been a drill instructor in the Marines, and of course, you know, once you've done that, why not just head directly to Catholic school? So he had been a DI, and at one point, this guy named Harvey was sort of mouthing off and just kind of giving him a bunch of guff and whatever. And it was a whole lot of, Harvey, let's go into the locker room and talk about this. And they went into the locker room, and then Harvey came out a few minutes later and was sort of doubled over. And the teacher explained to us with just the brightest note of cheer in his voice that Harvey had slipped and fallen on a bench. And none of you boys want to slip and fall on a bench, do you? So let's all mind our P's and Q's. That was the only actual, like, pummeling that I think probably took place. Everything else was just sort of the But see, it's not that, like, the ruler actually hurts a lot. It's all the thing that the nuns have got is the psychological aspect of it down. It's not that, like, being hit on the knuckles with a ruler hurts, even if you're wrapping your hands on the edge of the desk. It's just the anticipatory dread of, like, it's the whole ritual of, like, making you take your hands, put your hands on the desk, wrap your hands around the edge of the desk, and then they have the ruler or the yardstick. And then it's just the whole, like, waiting of, like, the, come on, you know, and you say, and then it just builds up into a whole thing in your head. I think the ruler, the actual payoff of it is actually not all that painful. It's just like a whole, they're just like Viet Cong, you know, it's like Viet Cong in black and white. That's what they are, really. I mean, it's just some special breed of, there's some special breed of awful that drives you to become, not a nun as such, but I mean, a nun like that. Really, that is where you've just got like the deepest kind of issues, and that is, you know, that's the mechanism by which you have chosen to foist them on the rest of the world.
Basically, almost all of them are Rosalind Russell in Where Angels Go, Trouble Follows, not Stella Stevens.
Sure.
Okay. That was my 1% obscure movie reference
I got nothing
for the day. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do entertainment.
Here's your entertainment news for Monday, May 16th, 2011.
Bill O'Reilly has invited Jon Stewart to join him on The O'Reilly Factor as a guest on Monday. Fox News said that O'Reilly and Stewart will debate the invitation for Grammy Award-winning rapper Common to perform at the White House Poetry Night this week. O'Reilly has criticized Common's presence at Wednesday's event. He says some of Common's lyrics celebrate violence. Common himself took the criticism in stride and tweeted, "Fox News doesn't like me. Peace, y'all." Stewart let loose with an anti-Fox News Channel rap on his show. And if you haven't seen that, by the way, it's really, really funny. So the O'Reilly-Stewart face-off will air tonight at 8 p.m. Rick Springfield threatened to kill a deputy sheriff and the deputy's family the night he was arrested for drunk driving. This is from law enforcement sources talking to TMZ. There is, however, no mention of that incident in the arrest report.
No. Wow.
Springfield was arrested in Malibu on May 1st and blew a .10 above the legal limit. Sources tell us that told TMZ that Springfield was extremely angry after the deputy said his $200,000 1963 Corvette Stingray would be towed. Law enforcement sources said Springfield yelled to the deputy, "If you tow my car, I will effing kill you and your family."
Which is just weird. The idea that Rick Springfield is threatening to harm your loved ones is not a thing you anticipate happening to you.
Back at the Malibu Sheriff's Station, the captain who runs the station asked the deputy, "Did you really feel threatened?"
By Rick Springfield?
And apparently no.
No.
The report merely says that Springfield was belligerent.
Okay.
L.A. County Sheriff's Deputy Spokesman Steve Whitmore said, "It is rare when a drunk doesn't say something outlandish to police when they're arrested. I have no idea what went down with this one. I wasn't there. But drunks are notorious for saying stupid, outlandish things to law enforcement all the time."
That's just one of those things where if you're the cop, you just gotta, I mean, you think to yourself, well, I could probably tase him right now. I mean, if I, you know, he has issued a threat, I could just give him a good macing.
And then I'm the guy who tased Rick Springfield.
But then you gotta wonder but maybe there's some upside to that. I mean, that might, you know. That might be enough to people might find you intrigued. That might be enough. That might be a net win for you in terms of publicity.
I bet, though, if you work at the Malibu Sheriff's Station, though,
you get that a lot.
You're always getting the drunk movie stars like Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
it was the same sheriff's department, you know, on those back roads. And I imagine that probably you have to gauge how belligerent they are and who they are.
Yeah,
because it's like, honestly, like the guy saying, "Did you really feel threatened?" Like, if you ended up tasing Rick Springfield, all the other cops would be going, "Seriously, dude, Rick Springfield?"
Yeah, I guess it's hard to make the case that you felt like you were really going to be taken out. Like, he was really going to, you know, like there yeah. was, like something was really going to be started.
You know, if you pull over, like, some WWF guy.
I was just going to say the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, that is a thing where perhaps the use of force is slightly more justified.
Yeah, Rick Springfield. Country singers Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert were married Saturday evening at the Don Strange Ranch outside San Antonio, Texas. Reba McEntire, Shelton's colleague on The Voice, CeeLo Green, Charles Kelly, and Dierks Bentley were among the 550 guests in attendance. This is Shelton's second marriage and Lambert's first. Monster Garage star Jesse James gave a candid interview to Men's Journal as he discussed his past infidelities during his marriage to estranged wife Sandra Bullock. He said, "I never shied away from anything I did. I took full responsibility. I cheated on my wife. Guess what? So do millions of other men. To be honest, it was unfair of me to even be in a relationship. I sabotaged everything."
Denying his penis to all the other women of the world.
"I was never 100% in. I'm self-destructive. I made some seriously effed up choices."
Mistakes were made, Don.
Says the man who is now currently engaged to Kat Von D.
Yeah, that it doesn't really seem like that's... He's trending downward, I think.
Also, you're engaged to someone, and then you give an interview where you say
marriage
that.
Not for me. No,
yeah.
Sir, I just can't make it work.
Yeah.
Boy was I a fool to try that.
"Hey, honey, did you see my interview in Men's Fitness?"
Oh. See the chick with the swastika thing? Or
yes.
Was she dressed like a Nazi or something in some sort of a...
Yeah.
Doesn't mean she is a Nazi, I guess.
Yeah.
But is it like a tattoo, or was it that she was dressed that way for like a shoot or something?
She was some kind of tattoo model, and she's got tattoos all over. And I guess there was that and the fact that he apparently collects Nazi memorabilia or something. So,
okay.
I don't know. Two and a Half Men actor John Cryer released a statement saying that he's happy that Ashton Kutcher has decided to join the show and replace Charlie Sheen.
So that's really true? That's not like... That's not a gag?
No, apparently it's true.
Okay.
Pryor said in a statement, I'm jazzed about the news this morning. The 2.5 Men is coming back. I want to express my enormous gratitude to Charlie Sheen for 8 great seasons. I'm extremely proud of the work we've done together. Has he seen the show?
I think he's extremely proud that he's able to get a paycheck by phoning it in on a weekly basis.
I'm also looking forward to this new beginning. Ashton is an extraordinarily talented guy, and his presence will be an asset to our show.
Well, hey, yeah. You know.
Okay. On Sunday, NBC released its fall schedule. New programs include The Playboy Club, a 1960s series set in Chicago, the Whitney Cummings headline sitcom Whitney. I don't know who Whitney Cummings is.
Me either. I have nothing.
Okay. A Hank Azaria comedy called Free Agents, which is about public relations executives. Prime Suspect, starring Maria Bello, and Grimm.
Isn't there already a show called Prime Suspect? Doesn't it sound like there ought to have been?
It sounds like... There's Criminal Minds Suspect Behavior.
It sounds very similar to something that is already on. All right, I'm looking up...
And wasn't one of those Helen Mirren detective shows called, like, Prime Suspect?
I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe this is an American remake of that.
Okay, so Whitney Cummings is some bony chick who... she's apparently a jokestress of some kind.
Is she?
I don't know. She's apparently an American comedian, former cast member of the... Oh, she's from Punk'd.
Oh.
That's why she looks right. Yeah, she was... she's going to be doing some sort of a thing.
Okay. Also, NBC will be running Grimm, which is being shot here
in
Portland.
Which was, by the way, being shot here on Friday as I was attempting to leave, encircling the studio and blocking off like every possible escape route for me to try to get home.
It wasn't that movie Gone, that Amanda Seyfried movie?
Maybe. I think it was Grimm. It could be Gone.
Because I kept seeing these signs that said Gone with an arrow, and I'm going, I have no idea what that means. And then someone told me later.
I know that Grimm and Gone are actually they're both filming in this area because I left my, which is sort of like if you don't like Sarah didn't actually know what those signs were for. And she said that she was just all around her neighborhood. There would just be these signs with arrows pointing in various directions, and one would say Grimm and the other would say Gone. And she said it was kind of freaking her out. Like, it just seemed very creepy because she didn't know why. So
I figured it was just another Portland, like, street art thing or something until I... Yeah.
It was... by the way, Prime Suspect is a BBC series with Helen Mirren. It's a remake.
Okay.
So they are sort of porting that over. Okay, so yeah.
I like Maria Bello a lot, but she is no Helen Mirren.
No, well, who is, really?
So anyway, Grimm apparently is a drama centering on a detective who battles supernatural creatures.
And the thing is, it's actually shot in Portland and set in Portland, which is what makes it different than, let's say, like Leverage,
right,
which is set in a different city every week. And I think
Have you been called out for any interviews for Grimm yet? You could be a supernatural creature.
Well, theoretically, here's the thing, because I am an international reporter on Leverage. There is no sitcom and no drama. There is no program on God's earth in which I could not theoretically play that role. I could be like the new Belzer in that regard. I could be John Munch, you know, I could be the international reporting version of John Munch.
Yeah, like every single TV show could have episodes where, like, part of the exposition involves you in the background,
yes,
saying what happened to the criminal.
That's right. And see, and here's the great thing about this. I was just talking to Lara about this because, you know, there's like, because Devlin and Rogers have that new series that's shooting. And because, you know, and the thing about international, about the thing about my character, Don, the thing about international reporter is that, and that what's so great is
you
that
need
we
to give him a name.
We had to get we had to get permission. I swear to God, I think his name is just Rick Emerson. I don't even think they were like gave it enough thought to give him a character. Should we name him? No. We had to get CNN's permission, even though I don't think the CNN logo, I'm not even actually sure that it's visible. I don't know they ended up using it. But international reporter, the great thing about my character is, he is the writer's best friend. Because if you realize you've only got 30 seconds of screen time left, or you only got half a page of script and you're going to be overtime, international reporter can be used to summarize everything that needs to be summarized, which is what I did in that episode where I was... Finally tonight, it looks as though... And then I summarize everything that happened. I give the awkward expository dialogue, which wraps up the entire plot with a big red ribbon so that they can then cut to the epilogue scene, which is with Timothy Hutton. Really, I'm just saying, right there, writers, if you find yourself, you know, you're short on time, you need to get things taken care of at the end of your episode, international reporter is your man. He can get that done. That's my superpower. So there you go. All right. On that note, we should... there we go. Okay. With this, we bring to a conclusion another exciting episode of Legion of News. And again, if you've been listening to us live this hour at Cascadia.fm, this will be posted in its entirety with the beginning portion, which was truncated, which was a little bit cut off there at the beginning. So we'll get this posted at Cascadia.fm, also at LegionofNews.com and at iTunes. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, at the news desk. Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer. Bruce Ackler, Chief of Staff. Cheryl Kanakoa, the Rick Emerson Show, is next at rickemersonshow.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you again tomorrow. That is Tuesday at noon for another episode of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Monday. Won't you please?